Dr. Patricia Knoll is a counselor who's been working with people for decades. She's also a drug addiction specialist, and she's an acupuncturist. In addition, she's an author of the book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. If you listen to this each week and you buy her book, you too can proudly be good with me. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks so much for being here with us on the Pete O'Shea Show. It's right here on your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS. I'm your buddy Pete. I've got Kathy on the board right now. And we're in the middle of our time. Actually, we're starting our time with Good With Me with Dr. Patricia Knoll. The book is A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. We are going through the book chapter by chapter. We started out last week with the four attachments. There are four attachments that you all of us have issues with. The need for approval from others, the need to look good, the need to be right, and the need to control outcomes. We're in the middle now of attachment number one, the need for approval from others. Dr. Knoll, talk to me about the quote-unquote people pleasers.
Well, unfortunately, approval matters so much to some individuals that they will do just whatever it takes to please other people. They lose their own identity in the process of doing that, but they believe that pleasing other people is the only way for them to get the approval that they so desperately need. And they will do literally whatever it takes to get it.
And the people who are people pleasers, they're actually proud of it. They say, I'm a people pleaser. And they say it with like it's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Then they say, well, after all I've done for you. But they say yes when they really want to say no.
So there's a very interesting phenomenon that comes out of that.
Yeah.
What is that?
Because I do so much for everyone else and I don't take any responsibility for taking care of myself. So I end up resenting everyone else that I'm people-pleasing and doing all of these wonderful, magnificent things for, because there's never any time left over for me.
Wow. So the question is then, how many times have you said yes when you really wanted to say no to somebody?
That's right.
You know, and again, you wind up, you don't even realize that resentment that you spoke of, a lot of times it's not conscious.
That's right.
But it's very deep-seated. And
sure.
It's very, very, very hard to break that cycle.
It is, because we blame them and we make it their fault that we have no time for us because they asked. And what we end up doing in this process is we end up victimizing ourselves.
Could this also be one of those ones where, you know, when you're growing up and your parents want you to be something for a living and you don't really want to do it, but you do it anyway just because that's something they want to?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How many people are in professions and careers that they don't like at all, but it's to please their parents?
When I was 7, my father told everybody, they got back the, you know, test scores that you did, the standardized test, and I came in the 1 percentile of the country. And he told everybody that I was going to be a doctor.
Sure.
And I was 7. I remember going to him saying, did you going to ask me if I wanted to be a doctor? And I remember I stood up to him.
Good
it was
for
the first
you.
Time I ever stood up to my dad. I said, were you going to ask me if I ever wanted? He said, well, you know, I just, you know, and he started, I said, I don't even like the sight of blood. Why would I want to be a doctor? I don't want to do that.
Right.
But he kept doing it for years anyway, you know, but more of a joke after that. But it was certainly something where if I had just went along with his thing,
You'd be a doctor today, and you wouldn't like being a doctor.
I would have failed out of school is what would have happened.
Failed out of med school,
yeah,
right?
And, you know,
right.
Who knows what would have happened.
That's right. So, you know, most people don't even realize that your father had a right to ask if you were going to be a doctor. He has that right to ask.
Right.
They have a right to ask you to, you know, fly to the moon with them or go grocery shopping for them or whatever. And here's what you have to learn is that you have the right to say no.
You have the right to say no. You have the right to stand up for what you want. You have the right to not make your whole life a juggling act for others, all right? And be that chameleon where you're always changing, always faking it, always liking and disliking to gain approval of others with no thoughts of what you want, what is important to you, you know? So, you know, we have to get to that point where we understand that. We really do. So the need for approval from others, this first attachment, it's really a big one that kind of, I can't imagine anybody doesn't go through this at some level, Doc, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because we're forgetting about our own self in the midst of all this. That's the big part I want you all to understand. You're so forgetting about what it is you want, what you care about, what you feel about, and you're letting all this go just so you can please other people.
And we're so focused on pleasing them that when we don't know what we want, there isn't any way to get it.
And what really could wind up happening, which is frightening, right? And you have it right here on page 34, you say, this need for approval can actually have wind up having people do something that contradicts their own values.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How many people will join a group that has values that don't match theirs, but they'll do something maybe illegal or something unkind or hurtful just to get the approval from the group and to please
sure.
the group?
Somewhere in 11th grade, pretty much every child gets handed a joint. Here you go. It's okay. Everybody else is doing it, is what everyone will say to you when they hand it to you.
That's right.
And that's that moment where you've got to make that decision and say, wait a minute, I know this is wrong. This
right.
is illegal.
Right. And if the need for the approval from that group is stronger than feeling good about yourself
right.
and your own values, you'll take the joint.
Or the accountant or bookkeeper who embezzles mm-hmm. from the company.
Right.
So that they can keep up with the Joneses, so they can do the big spending and they can have all the cool things.
Absolutely.
That's that same thing.
And that contradicts their values and their morals, but that's how powerful that need for approval is.
Yeah, and there's levels to that.
Yes.
And so even simply, you know, to be mean to people,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody else is making jokes about somebody, so you do it also. You don't want to be mean to that person. That's not in you who you are.
Right.
But you're doing it anyhow because you're trying to keep up with everybody.
Right. You know, I once had a young fellow say to me, I do drugs and started doing drugs and alcohol because I now realize that the standards for approval were so low.
Wow.
That I could get them there.
Wow. That's powerful.
Isn't that powerful?
I want to finish this up, this chapter, though, by on a positive note on this.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay to ask other people for opinion.
Oh, yes.
Again, especially if you have your own self-dependent esteem.
That's right.
It's okay.
It is. It's just a sounding board then. It's like, okay, let me get a few opinions here. Let me see what they are. But I pretty much know what I want. I just want to use it as a sounding board. And if I don't take your opinion or your advice, that's okay. How often do people give advice and say, oh, well, I'm never giving you advice again because you didn't even use it?
I listened and I made a decision.
That's right.
You know, and it's kind of like you say here, too. It's like we're afraid to raise our hand in class if we didn't get what the teacher just said.
Right.
It's that same thing. No, we can ask. We can ask for opinion. We can ask for help. Again, if we're not going to let it control our lives and become that other dependent esteem, it's all right.
Yes.
To have opinions, to hear people out. And again, maybe you talk to a few people in your life, and then you come to a decision based on everything, including your own thoughts as well.
That's right. That's just information gathering, fact gathering.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Again, if it is coming from self-dependent esteem as opposed to other dependent esteem.
Correct.
You know, we have this fear of looking stupid. We have this fear of, you know, not knowing who to ask or what's right or what's wrong. Again, it goes back to believing that you're worthy just because.
That's right.
Gosh, that's the whole thing of it, isn't it?
It really is.
You know?
Yes.
And there's nobody that doesn't battle that. We all do. Based on all these things we've talked about, we all battle it a little bit.
Yes.
That idea that we are worthy, that we're valuable, that we mean something.
Yes.
Just because.
Just because. And when we really get that, then other people's opinions don't run our lives.
And then, again, you have that healthiness to be able to share your life. And just to be, you know, like a lot of times, Doc, people are afraid to even be silly.
Yes.
You know, or wear a costume at Halloween when you're grown up, or to just let loose and sing in the car out loud, you know, as you
right.
drive down the road with the windows open, because we're afraid people are going to say something to us. What does what they say matter anyways?
You know, that's such a good question, Pete, because it really doesn't matter what other people think, because how many times can people say to you or do people say, you are awesome. I really like you. I really like your haircut. And you just go, oh, what do you want from me? You're really crazy here. So that opinion, that good opinion of you, doesn't change the way you think of yourself deep down inside.
Because we've already, you know, convinced ourselves
that's right
that we're not worthy.
That's
that
right.
My head is too big. So what are you talking about? Why would you compliment my haircut? Now you're lying to me.
That's right.
Because I already know my haircut doesn't look good. So why would you say that? Which actually happened to me last night because several people were complimenting it. And I'm saying to myself, what?
Yeah.
How can you say this looks good? It looks ridiculous. I look like a giant, I look like a chia pet.
So you see, bottom line, what matters most is your own opinion of yourself.
And that, again, is a process of, and we're going to go through that over the course of this book. I don't want them to feel, as you're listening, that it's all Dawah here. We're getting all this out so
right.
that we can show you
right.
the right way to change it, the right way to start changing that stinking thinking, to get off that treadmill, okay, to get off that loop that you talk about, and to start heading towards the positive thinking, to start liking ourselves, to start being good with me.
Right. And so what I would want people to do as we're moving forward into this new year, that's starting pretty quickly now, I want people to start thinking of making this next year a year of love. And I want you to find someone to love, starting with yourself.
Yes.
Okay, starting with you first, so that when you can love yourself, then you can love others. So let's kind of keep that in the background as we move forward, is starting to love ourselves.
New year, new life. Start, have a great, fresh new start. Start to love yourself, and then you can love others.
That's right.
That's a great thing. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back after this. I love you, and I love Jesus.
We asked people why they like the Crab Shack restaurant on Gandy Boulevard in St. Petersburg so much. And, well, everyone kind of had the same answer, so much so that we just decided to put it all down in a rhyme. And it goes like this.
Oh, the Crab Shack Restaurant. That's the place to be. The Crab Shack Restaurant has what's right for me. The Crab Shack Restaurant, you just have to see. Fish and seafood, any way you like it, crab legs, clams, and even whole fish corvina. The Crab Shack's the place you want to be seen at.
Okay, that's stretching it. But if you're looking for the freshest seafood in Tampa Bay, you have to visit us at the Crab Shack. Daily dining specials like the all-you-can-eat fish fry on Mondays, and on Tuesdays it's all-you-can-eat clam strips. The Crab Shack welcomes you to a casual, no-frills dining experience. Check us out online at crabshack.com. The Crab Shack is located where it's always been, 11400 Gandy Boulevard, St. Petersburg. For great seafood at a fair price, the Crab Shack is the place to be. The Crab Shack, seafood Florida style.
Patricia Knoll, you're on a mission to help everybody be good with me. What does that mean?
That means I'm redefining self-esteem so everyone can feel good about who they are.
And how do you do that?
I do that with individual and group counseling, with a webinar, with online courses, and also with the book, Good With Me.
We got to get people to understand, to actually pay attention to the fact that they're actually thinking bad thoughts, right?
That's right. Most people are thinking negatively about themselves and they don't even know it. So it's just running their lives.
So once you get them to notice that in counseling, then you can get them to learn how to
see what they're thinking and then change it
and learn how to have fun doing it, right?
Absolutely. It's all about the fun.
You can practice being good with me, and if you want to be good with me, then I want you to call Patricia Knoll at 727-424-1270. Again, that's 727-424-1270, or
go to goodwithme.com.
Right now, you're listening to and enjoying the Pete O'Shea Show, like so many do.
That boy's good.
And if you have a business or message you'd like to have reach the large audience that Pete reaches every day, then you should reach out to the team here at your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS.
Yes!
Discuss with us how to effectively utilize advertising on the Pete O'Shea Show to help your business. Call 727-579-1110 to reach the 8 Tampa Bay area counties that hear the Pete O'Shea Show on a daily basis. If the Pete O'Shea Show is what you're listening to,
put that cookie down now!
And you want to reach like-minded people, then call WTIS today at 727-579-1110.
Alrighty then.
Get started today with a successful sales campaign with the Pete O'Shea Show. Call 727-579-1110.
Yes!
Hey,
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks so much for being here with us on the Pete O'Shea Show. It's right here on your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS. I'm Pete O'Shea. I got Kathy Curtis on the board right now. And it's a beautiful Wednesday. It's almost 2016. So happy, happy New Year to you. And you heard as we were going to break, Dr. Patricia Noel, who we're with right now, doing good with me. Her book, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. She gave you a great New Year's resolution to have for yourself. Make this the year you finally really, really, really love yourself for who you are, for the fact that you're a child of God, that you're a blessing and a gift, that God doesn't make junk, that you're phenomenal, that you're perfect, you're beautiful. If you start to love yourself truly, for real, then you can start loving everybody else, and then your life gets infinitely better. So that was a great message that she left us with in the end of the first segment about how, again, it's time to truly fall in love with yourself. Awesome, right?
Yes.
All right, now we're doing the attachments. We're going to start now on chapter 7, which is attachment number 2, the need to look good. Like you said, there's billions of dollars spent each year with everybody trying to keep up with this attachment.
That's right. And the need to look good comes from the first attachment, which is the need for approval.
Yeah.
If I look good, you're going to approve of me. So we think we have to look good at all times, in every situation, to everyone. And here's the thing, looking good has an entirely different meaning to different people.
Right, it sure does.
Right?
Yeah. It's not always just about being all sorts of glamorous and all that kind of stuff. For some people, look good means having the right biker clothes on.
That's right.
Having the right, you know, scars or whatever else it is. For each person, there's a radically different notion of what that means to look good.
Right. And if we really pay attention, over the decades, the idea of what looks good changes all the time.
Yeah, it does.
Right?
It constantly changes from year in and year out.
Yes.
The fashion trends change radically. The it girl or the it guy or the it look change, the haircut, you know, everybody's going to be a follower on a haircut.
Yes.
Or a style, right?
Yes, right. And then if we look back, remember the day when it was the curvy, voluptuous Marilyn Monroe that looked good for ladies?
Yeah.
And then it was followed by Twiggy.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to be pencil thin, or twig thin.
See, I just want to sit her down and give her a hamburger. I just want to sit with her and feed her. I want to just, come here, Twiggy, have a burger.
Right. And then it's, you know, and it just keeps changing and changing and changing. So who says what it is that looks good?
Yeah, who decides that? How do we get to that decision?
Yes. And wherever it comes from, then we buy into it. But it's part of our media and marketing. Again, we go back to that, and I don't want to beat them up. But,
no, but,
you know, but we allow it.
It's not their fault. They
no,
know this
isn't.
Works. They know that we're lemmings, that we're just going to crawl off the cliff and fall right into it. And they're just trying to make a living.
Of course.
And so each ad that's made, each commercial that you see on TV, is set to just totally exploit this situation.
Right. But the only way they do exploit it is because
we
allow
let
it.
Them.
We don't feel good about who we are, and we think if we do all the right things that they tell us look good, then we'll look good.
You get the creams and the lotions and the this and the
that's
right. And the hair products and the attachments and the when you're dressing, you got all the little things that go with it. You got to have the right pearl or the right this or the right bag. People spend $500 or $5,000
or more
on a handbag.
Sure.
I bought my first car for less money than that, you know, on a handbag that you can't even use that much.
Right.
And we're so dedicated to this, to the idea of looking good.
Looking good to others.
Yeah,
yes.
That we go crazy. And it isn't just even appearance. It's even about who we hang out with, isn't it?
It is. Who we hang out with, what we do in life, our successes, our accomplishments, just all kinds of things.
Doing something where dangerous, do jump off the cliff, mm-hmm. or do this, or skydive, or one of those kind of, you know, where you eat. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
sure.
Where we eat. Do we go to the right restaurants, or do we go to the right little diners? You know, depending on what our idea is about looking good.
Now, can this also be genetic a little bit? And I don't mean like genetic internally, but almost like a family history of that vanity?
It can be, but I think we're more a product of our own thinking about our environment rather than our environment.
But so there is something to what I'm saying a little bit, though, right? Like, for instance, let's take the Kardashians. Those two little girls, when they were children, had the two littlest ones, had no chance but to wind up being plastic like their sisters.
Yes, they did.
Well, they had their own free will, but they were being sucked in like a vacuum the whole time.
Right. And so, but certainly as we get older, and this is the thing, you know, if we're not thinking and we're not living life consciously, paying attention to what we think, then yes, you're right. We just kind of get sucked up and go along. But have you ever seen the child that lives in a family system and they just pack their little bag and they decide they're just going to take off one day?
Sure.
Right? So they're thinking differently. They're saying, this isn't working for me. I'm going to go somewhere else.
But the glitz and the glamour is real easy to fall into. And again, when that show started, they were 11 and 12, but now they're 18 and 20, and they look and act and talk like 35-year-olds. And it's frightening to watch. And they now glamour themselves up and try to be sex symbols at 18 years old. And unless you're, it's so easy to see through that. That's a child that they've got doing this.
So you can see the need for other dependent esteem and the approval and the need to look good to get it.
So again, any positive thoughts that we have about ourselves seem to be present only when we think we look good to others.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, wow.
How do you beat yourself up internally with this negative chatter? Oh, no, I don't look as good as they do. Oh, I don't have the right bag. Oh, I don't have the right this. Oh, what are people going to think?
But none of us sit down and actually personally define what looking good is.
That's
for
right.
ourselves. We don't do that. We take what society tells us it is. Nobody does. I mean, not that many. I shouldn't say nobody
right,
does.
Right.
For the most part, we all assume what the world says, what society says, what Madison Avenue says.
That's right.
Is what looking good is.
That's right. And that's what we strive to be.
So many things influence our perception of this, too. It comes bombarding at us now. I mean, back in the day when I was growing up, there were 3 TV channels.
Right.
3.
3.
You know, now there's 3,000. And right. the internet.
Right.
And the billboards that are electronic that keep spinning over and over. Throughout the day, you see 500 billboards as you're driving down the street. That makes it even harder today, doesn't it?
It does.
Because we're saturated now.
We are saturated. And if we really stop to think about it, why do we have so many depressed teenagers today? Why do we have so many depressed adults? Well, even it starts at adolescents, but adolescents and teens and adults. Why are so many people just depressed? Because they don't think they're good enough. They can't live up to the standard.
And this is a great one you say here in this chapter. How could it possibly be that a particular brand of perfume makes you sexy, or right. that some kind of beer makes you cool.
Right. And yet we think it does, but because we've been told it does.
Right.
Or the billboard says it does.
Right. But there's no way one perfume to another makes you any sexier, or one drink to another makes you any cooler.
Right. But what happens are the commercials, the magazine ads, the radio campaigns, the billboards, you know, they tell us what labels to wear right down to our underwear.
Wow. And that's not even, and that's just the surface of the commercials. They right. also usually are embedded with a lot of sublingual information, subconscious information embedded inside of the commercials that we're not even aware is being, we're being attacked with.
Right, right. And then it goes even further, Pete. You know, it's the kind of car that we drive, or the house, or the neighborhood, or the country club, or our career, or even our breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
Right?
Even that.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can be one of the beautiful people.
Right.
But we're all the beautiful people, and that's what we lose track of.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay? And it doesn't matter. We don't need to look good to others. We just need to look good to ourselves. And that just could be, hey, I'm at my healthiest, or hey, I'm doing the right things. I'm hanging out with the right people. And if you look at my life, if you take a snapshot of my life right now, I feel good about it, who I am and what I'm doing.
Yes.
You know?
And that's what we want to be.
But most people take that still shot of their lives. And they go, no way, that's my life. And, oh, my goodness, this is a mess. And how do I stop this? And what do I do about it? Even though it is pretty good. But, again, you're judging against everything else and against what everybody else is telling us, quote, unquote, looks good.
That's right. And if we finally look good, then guess what? All the parameters change.
Yeah.
Last year's sexy perfume isn't the sexiest anymore. And last year's brand of beer isn't the you know, the coolest anymore.
It's exhausting. Or
the, right? The styles change. Everything changes. So now we have to start all over to keep up.
Wow. Okay, so this is what we're talking about here, the attachment number two, the need to look good. This is a powerful thing. But again, we're going to show you in the weeks to come how you can overcome this, how you can turn it around, how you can look at things a completely different way. And the only person you're going to care that matters is you yourself. Right, Doc?
That's right.
So that's the plan. So again, start by loving yourself. That's Doc's homework for you today. Start by loving yourself. If you can do that, we move from there. All right, Dr. Noll, thanks so much. This is such a great book. I really enjoy going through it with you each week. I really enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we'll be right back with a house call from Dr. Tracy Lenhart. I love you, and I love Jesus.